speak to you just here for a few minutes. And just putting down some thoughts, and hopefully this will make sense to y'all as I go through. It may not be kind of traditional sermon layout on this. But I was reading a little bit, doing a little research. November 19th, 1863, 15,000 people gathered for the dedication of the new cemetery. It would be a final resting place for thousands of soldiers that had died during the terrible Civil War. There was a band playing as the people gathered, and the ceremony began with a prayer of the Reverend T.H. Stockton. It was noted when he prayed that the clouds broke and the sunlight shone through as he was praying that day. The Marine band played, and the featured speaker stood and took the podium. His name was Edward Everett. Perhaps the most celebrated orator of his day. He had spent years in the government doing many things, but he spoke for over 2 hours. I'm not going to do that to you. The text of that speech runs, somebody tell me, 13,607 words long. After he was done, the Baltimore Glee Club sang a song, and a new song had been written just for this occasion. And then, just almost as an afterthought in this program, Abraham Lincoln had been added. They had just sent the invitation. They'd already lined up Mr. Everett to speak. But the invitation that Abraham Lincoln had received said, "It is the desire that, after the oration, you, as chief executive of the nation, formally set apart these grounds to their sacred use by a few appropriate remarks." He was the final speaker that day. After he was done, there was a choir that sang, and then the Reverend H.L. Bower delivered the benediction. Now, I doubt any of you knew who Edward Everett was today in his two-hour speech, but every American remembers the 10 sentences, 271 words, that Abraham Lincoln took a little over 2 minutes in delivery. I'm not going to accomplish that either. The Gettysburg Address has been hailed as one of the greatest masterpieces of the English language. I think the primary reason for that is because it's short. People always give more favorable reviews to preachers and politicians when they keep it short. So. Amen. No comments from him, y'all. Now, I am no Lincoln and this is no Gettysburg, but today we gather on a portion of a field that our forefathers dedicated as a place where they and their descendants would someday gather. You know, it's sad as things change around here in this community. I don't like it. Everything's subdivided anymore, but the Sweetwater community itself, the old Sweetwater school, you go winding your way back there, and it's just a footnote in the history of Wise County at this point. But we gather in a place of memories and tears, but, you know, it's also a place of infinite hope. Too often we think of a graveyard as a place of defeat, but it is an empty tomb that is the greatest monument of the greatest victory that we find our hope in. Christ died as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You'll find in the final verses of John the account, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, taking the body of Christ from the cross. Quickly, they were hurrying. It was almost nightfall. The Passover was about to begin. They were in a hurry. Placed them in a new, unused tomb, John 19:40-42. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. For 3 days it looked like death had won. For 3 days it looked like we would have no hope. If God himself could not defeat the foe of death, what hope would we have? But I'm glad the story continues. I'm going to jump over to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. This is the women here. And it says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are angels. It says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Is there a greater sentence in the English language than that? On that day, the graveyard, a place of doom and defeat, became the site of the greatest victory the world has ever seen. I thought of the words of the old song. I think we're singing it later this morning. But he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. But the story doesn't stop there. I think back to that day at Gettysburg, and they were memorializing a very costly victory to help preserve the Union. We gather today on a site that we look back, not on a site that we look back and see victory here. I don't know if there's any fighting around here. I don't know of any other than family squabbles, you know. But for here, for our victory, we must look ahead. We don't look backwards. We look ahead. One day, cemeteries around this world will be ground zero for one of the greatest victories. Christ won that victory 2,000 years ago, but that victory is not complete for us yet. When we die, our soul separates from this husk of our physical body. For the child of God, our soul will be present with the Lord, but our body is still held by death. But this will not be for eternity. We have the promise that our Lord will return. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Connie, I was thinking about it. You get to heaven, a lot of people want a refund. And they don't need that cemetery plot anymore. They're probably, I got some family, I think, is probably going to be the first ones in line. If it's not Bill Adams, I don't know if Bill wants a refund. Because the dead's not going to stay here. The dead in Christ are going to rise to be with the Lord. We read also 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, we've been changed with the rising of the dead, when we're caught up with the Lord, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And I love this verse. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We don't look back on death and boast and brag and say, really, that's all you had? That's the best you could do? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have no need to fear death. As a child of God, there's no need to fear what lies ahead. We know. Christ has already told us. We know. We've already got the guidebook. We know what's going to happen. But death has already been defeated. And Christ shares that victory with those that come to him. Well, it's not us. I can't defeat death. You know, the best the doctor can do is prolong you. They keep trying. We're going to find a way to make it. It's never going to happen. The flesh just eventually wears out and falls apart. And y'all can laugh at me all you want to, but I'm like, what, about 43 now? And I feel it. And y'all can laugh about it. But eventually we just wear out. Eventually our time comes. But we don't have to fear death because Christ has already defeated death. If you do not know, you're on that winning side this morning. Hey, catch me after the service. We can have a talk. I can share with you how you know for sure from the scriptures that heaven is your home, that you have eternal life. But for now, we're going to sing one last song, celebrating that victory. Because We're not gathered at the graveyard to weep and mourn today. We're gathered to celebrate what our Lord has done and what we will have in Him, that great victory in Jesus.